Hey, trader. Want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or your MP3 player.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Welcome to Prosperity for God's People, brought to you by ChristianTraders.com, the Internet's fastest growing Christian investment community, created just for you, the Christian investor.
Everybody's happy.
Striving for excellence in Christian talk radio, excellence in the world financial markets, and most of all, excellence in your personal walk with God.
Broadcasting live
from the CFRN studios in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona.
Welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast where we talk about all things E-Mini and even stumble occasionally into the worlds of gold, crude, T-bonds, even the euro. Joining us today from our studios in Boston will be Mr. Michael Bork. In Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And last but certainly not least, reporting live from an undisclosed location somewhere in the Nevada desert, Mr. David Williams. So let's get after it and take a look at the numbers. Currently, the Dow is up 83 points on the session. The S&P is up 10.5. The comp is up almost 34. Now, for those of you tuned in live watching the charts in front of you, what we have is the S&P E-mini 10,000 contract chart. Had a great question as we were wrapping up the live trading room this morning. We're at the top. We're at a double top. If you can see my screens, here's the overnight high right here. And as we closed out the live trading room, we were trading right in here-ish. And the question was, is this a good place to get short? And the answer was, possibly. We were looking for the MA1 to cross below the BBC and for the cycle here to get hooked down. And that would be, and I think the words I used, better to miss the move if it gets away from us than to end up on the wrong side of it. And getting short here, depending upon how much you're willing to risk, could have put you on the wrong side of that trade. So that's what it looks like from a 10,000 contract perspective. As you can see on the overnight, here's what happened. Okay, we talked about this and wrote about it last night. The 1294, 1295 weekly trading zone, that has been the area all week. Okay, we'll look at that on a bigger time frame in just a minute. But here's what happened last night. As we were going into the close yesterday, David had mentioned, boy, I'd like to get short at 1290. Then he said, I'd really like to get short at 1294. And I said, you know, David Williams, I think you're going to get that opportunity you're seeking. And sure enough, and so then it just became a question, once we got into this area, how will you get short? Because even though you know this is an area and the potential is good, you still have to figure out some mechanism to get into the trade. I'm going to sell on a limit. I'm going to sell on a stop. I'm just going to join the bid, join the offer. You know, it's got to be some method. And so that was the question. How will you get short? Could have done it any number of ways based upon our indicators or your own. We then established an initial target right here, which we hit pretty early on. Now, this little drop and pullback right here, that would have been a fair entry up here. Obviously, a better entry, but boy, you know it's going to turn down yet? These are things to think about. Here was a second chance entry. Here, we hit our initial target, and our secondary target was way down here at 1284, 1285. This area never got there. Now, we always talk about multiple time frames. You need to know what's going on in a higher time frame. All right, let me show you this. Okay, 94.95, man, that's a great area to get short. We like it. David likes it. I think everybody liked it. So you get short, and you're going, oh, yeah, this is good. This is good. Now you're starting to go, I seem to be running into some trouble here because we should have gotten through this area. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70,000 contracts trying to break this area, and we can't break it. Let's have a look. What's going on over here? All right, 30-minute chart. Hey, here's where we turned down yesterday afternoon. Okay, same spot. Turned down. And we bounce off. Yep. And it looks like I just lost my charts. Are you still there, Michael? I hear you in the background.
I am still here. A second ago, you lost your volume.
For how long?
If you want to flip them to me.
For how long did I lose my volume?
About 5 seconds, maybe.
Yeah, you know what? The internet dropped, or actually my cable provider dropped, because I saw one of my screens turn to snow for a moment, and now it's back. Yeah. So... I'm reconnected on my charts. So I just want to point this out real quick, guys. All right, let me do this again. And I know it's hard for those of you listening after the fact, via podcast, via iTunes, because you aren't able to actually see the chart. But if you'll go to the charts I'm talking about on your own platform as you listen to this, it will be clear as day. Now, on the 10,000 contract, we had the bearish cross here. Trade's going in our favor, going in our favor, going in our favor, but then it's stalling. And you might notice that the cycle starts to work against us as well. Okay, jumping up to a 30-minute time frame. Notice how we printed dynamic resistance up here. Okay, that totally supported this trade. But then when it got to here, it stopped. It bounced, and it stopped. And it bounced, and it stopped. And I could draw you a little triangle here if you need me to, but we also started to print dynamic support here and here and here and here. And then, let me just zoom in a little bit. Hey, see this? Unlike the 10K, we never crossed here, did we? So this down move, based on the 30-minute time frame, it's still bullish. In fact, we've got dynamic support. So even though this looked most excellent, and it was most excellent, if you got short anywhere in this 94 to 95 area, and you took it down to this initial target at 90, that's a 4 or 5 point trade. Take those any day, all day long. But if you hold it to here, you got to be willing to go here and go, yeah, I'm on the wrong side of this thing. Okay, so do you buy now, right into the zone? No? I wouldn't. Okay, personally. That's a judgment call that you have to make. For me, that's not a good trade. But directionally, can you see that we stayed there? And on the pullback right here, we pull back into the zone this morning. Now, is that a good place to get long? Actually, it's a very good place. Because we've broken above the zone, pulled back. Now, this area has been, let's go to the hourly so you can really see it. Okay. Monday, 1294, 1295, weekly trading zone, which went out to all of our partners Sunday night. Monday, it was resistance. Tuesday, resistance. Wednesday, resistance. Could not break through. Broke through on the overnight last night. And then on the pullback this morning, and we discussed this as it was happening in the live trading room, we said, hey, this would, you know, this is kind of a no-brainer spot for the market to find some support, because broken resistance quite often will turn into support and vice versa. And that's what happened. And then we ran right up here to the 1303. We printed this dynamic resistance. And as you can see, we're trying to take that out right now. We've got 14 minutes left in this hourly candle. So we'll watch to see where it closes. We do have one final weekly trading zone overhead at 1311, 1312. After this, this, and this, I really didn't think we were going to see this week. So that's why you got to keep an open mind, because the market will not always do what you think it's going to do, or think it should do, or better yet, has to do, because market's going to do what the market's going to do. And I learned that from all those good books I read at audible.com. That's audiblefreetrial.com/CFRN. I'm going to show you later some of the great books. 85,000 titles, from business to religion, books for your kids. It really is a tremendous resource. And be sharing that with you going forward. We appreciate them sponsoring this radio program. Michael, what comments have you got for the listeners on today's price action?
Current price action, we're now popping up on all the markets. We're popping up over the nightly highs that we made, so it's looking really bullish right here. Now, after the consolidation that we've had the last couple of days, I was sort of expecting to have a big day, one way or the other, big up day or a big down day. It looks like breaking out of the consolidation pattern, it looks like we're going to be moving up. Our next weekly zone up above us, as you said, is all the way up at 1311, 1312 on the ES. And we've already gone through the highest zone on the Dow and on the Euro. Let me just check the Euro and see where that is situated right now. That's at 141.70. So we have plenty of room to go on the Euro. The crude was up there at the highest zone of the week already.
Today. Can you see my chart right now?
I can.
I know you've been putting this trade together for the partners on silver and with Bert, but this is the Euro. How patriotic does that make you feel?
Isn't that beautiful? On the Euro, no less.
Yeah? Yeah, we're getting all patriotic here on the Euro with the red, white, and blue candles. Trend change, guys. Bearish all the way. Let's see how this thing rolled. It rolled from, okay, here's the change. All right, so this candle opened at 141.23, and it went down to 140.40. So that is, how many pips? How many pips would that be?
Say the numbers again, 140.
Well, I'm thinking if you got short here.
Yep.
Which would be, the open was 141.23.
141.23.
Down to 140.40.
83.
83 pips. Okay.
83 times 12.5. Nice. Right.
Now, guys,
$37.
This is really easy to do after the fact. Okay? You know? To take a static chart and look back at what happened yesterday and go, oh, yeah, I could have got in here or over here. I'm just pointing out that what this particular indicator that Michael has written does The color will change. Blue is bullish. White is heads up. Things may be about to roll the other way. And then, Michael, let me ask you a question. On this candle here, I'm set to a 30-minute time frame. Was this candle red at the open or at the close or at some point in the life of the candle?
It started printing red at the open.
And will it always print at the open?
It starts the proper color.
Okay. Yeah. And can it change during the life of the candle? Or is, once it's committed, is that it?
No, depending on what kind of a candle you have, it can change.
Okay.
You know, like this is a 30-minute candle. This could span, you know, 10 points. It could change. It could go from red to a white, you know, to a blue.
Okay, so if price had let's say it had opened here, where it did, at 141.43, and instead of coming down, price had ran up, could this have actually become a white and or, as you just said, a blue candle?
It could have, yeah.
Okay, all right.
It could have become a blue candle.
So then the true entry is either towards the close of this candle, if you're going to trade off, and I realize that for some, a 30-minute time frame is quite small, but for most tuned into this radio program, I think a 30-minute time frame is, that's your bigger picture look, because most of us are trading these markets intraday. Now, there was that same pullback here. There's the bearish cross. There's the pullback. You know, guys, as we go from chart to chart, market to market, time frame to time frame, you see this over and over and over. There's the cross. Okay. Forget the color change of the candles for the moment. There's the pullback. There's the trade. You even got the second chance entry right there. Okay, that was yesterday. That's old news. Let's look at today. White candle, blue candle, bullish cross, pullback, yowza. Okay, that's not an official technical term, yowza, but it'll suffice. 140.85 up to 141.90. Off the top of my head, 95 pips. 140.85
up to 141.90.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about right.
Okay. All right. So is it always this perfect, this smooth, this easy? No. But sure looks nice today, eh? We'll roll back one more day, and then I won't press the issue anymore. Blue?
It's actually 105 pips.
Oh, okay. All right. Math never was my strongest point. That's why you're here, because you're good.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm rolling back one more day. It's all blue. Get your white candle. Heads up. We may be about to roll the other way. There we go. There's the roll. Now, let's say you entered here. What happens? Pull back here. You take a little heat. Maybe you waited for this pullback. And maybe you didn't take much heat. Maybe you took some heat. Maybe you don't like the heat. Don't move to Phoenix. But then here's the mover down again. And guys, I can't say this enough. If I could make an exclamation point in the air over radio, that's hard, but I would. This looks really, really simple after the fact. Okay. I'm not trying to, sell you a bill of goods here. I'm just pointing out that when it's perfect, this is how it looks. Okay. It's not always perfect. Okay. All right. So we'll move on. I think we've disclaimed that properly. Keep it gold for a minute. Red, white, blue. Cross, pullback. Really? 1428 gold ran to 1448. I think I can do that in my head. That's about $20.
Yeah, $20. $20 or... Is it? It's $1,000 a buck, right?
Is it?
No, I'm sorry. It's $100.
There you go. That sounds more like it. So it's a $2,000 move on one contract.
Yeah.
Spanning a day and a half. But again, that's in a perfect world looking at it after the fact. So you're probably thinking, well, okay, if it's that perfect after the fact, couldn't I at least maybe get a little taste of that in real time? Well, maybe you could. That's why we invite you to come take a free trial. Go to cfrn.net/apply or christiantraders.com and do exactly that. Take advantage of the free trial. Here's red, white, and blue, the crossover, the pullback, and yeah, it's almost embarrassing to add that one up because you can't say you actually took the trade. But 1400 to 1432 in that move there, which spanned the weekend. And that's on an hourly chart. And here's the thing, guys, with this indicator set, whether you break it down to a 10,000 contract chart, as you saw me do earlier, or go to a 30-minute, or go to an hourly, the same dynamic applies. Okay? All right. Let's go see what any of that looks like on the Dow E-mini. Okay, we got a new high on the Dow. We just printed dynamic resistance on our 500 contract chart. Okay. Here you will notice the cross, right? Here they defend the cross because this is, after all, the Christian Financial Radio Network. The cross, defend the cross, and look at that. What a nice move. Okay. Up she goes. And even if you were to take this entry here and you're thinking, wow, you know, I got to keep an eye out over here because that was the overnight high and that may be resistance and we may turn down. We may not get through there. Well, from here, which is 1260, to here is 40 points on the YM, which is equivalent to 4 points on the ES, and that's a day's work right there. Am I right, Michael?
You are right. That is a day's work.
Now, folks, those of you who've been around CFRN for any length of time, you know that both Michael and I entered into the Russell E-Mini Recovery Program some years ago. I'm sorry to say that this morning Michael suffered a relapse. Yes, he actually traded the Russell live in front of his fellow traders, and he actually did good, right? What'd you end up with?
I did. I ended up, well, I took three trades in front of everyone, and I won all three trades. I took another trade after we had ended, and the charts were still going, and though it went to my intended target area, I had moved my target up a little bit to the high of the day, and it didn't go all the way to the high of the day and came back and got me out of break even. So I took four trades, and all four trades were right, we'll say. And that's it. So now I'm done with it for today. I'm happy with 4 for 4.
Bert, are you with us?
I'm here, guys.
How are you, sir?
Hey, Bert.
Good, we're shaking.
Well, you're the big news. I don't know.
Big news, Bert?
Yeah.
That's you.
Yeah, that's got a good swing to it. By the way, for everyone that all the listeners, we're going to be hosting a show in the middle of the night in about a week or so. So I won't be getting any sleep.
And why is that, Bert?
Because within the next couple of days, my wife is going to, we're going to have another baby.
Another little Schlichter.
Congratulations.
That is number 4.
Are you done?
So, yeah, after that, Michael gave me the number to a nice doctor, I should say. Yeah.
Okay, so the quiver is full. All right.
Yeah, I said, I said that hurt just listening to what he went through last month or two.
Ah, it's not bad.
Yeah.
It wasn't so great when it was happening, but,
yeah,
but it's over.
So.
I mean, at this point, you might as well have one more. Then you can have a baseball team, you know, a hockey team.
I'm getting
not baseball, basketball. Basketball, sorry. But
I just thinking right. about my kids are what? Let's see, in high school, I'm going to be what? What's that? 15? I'm going to be almost what? 60? I'm 43 plus 50. Yeah, I'm going to be 60 something. That's crazy.
That is crazy. That is crazy.
Oh,
so I hope you wrote down that number I gave you.
Well, you know, 60 is a new 40, Bert, so that's the good news.
That's true. That's what I hear.
Other people have taken advantage of that since, other people I know have taken advantage of it since I did it.
Did they?
Yeah. Yeah, they did. They did.
Man.
Frozen peas, no. That's what you got to remember.
Frozen peas.
Have the kids bring them back and forth and back and forth.
Yeah, that's true. We just hit a little bit of resistance here at 1304. Mm-hmm. Isn't there a gap that needs to be filled at about 07 or 08?
Let's look at the session.
There are so many gaps.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it depends on how you calculate. You got 07, and you got potentially 1310, 1311, which is the last.
Okay, got a gap here. And you got a gap here. Now, I know that means a lot to those of you tuning in after the fact via podcast, so you really should come join us live in real time. Working with CashFly to see if they want to perhaps provide some bandwidth that we might be able to actually create a vodcast, which is a video podcast. But we'll see. Okay, there's this big one here. Did that get satisfied? No. It didn't. Yeah, so there's a lot of little air pockets in here. But for now, the market just continues to climb.
Yeah, I think yesterday's close was huge. I mean, they headed against the ropes early on yesterday. And for them to come back like they did, like wrote in the blog yesterday, here's your first little resistance here. What was the other thing? Hey, Michael, how about those silver setups in that room?
Yeah, the silver setups are
unbelievable.
Yep, the silver setups are nice.
Yeah.
They certainly are. And Dwayne went over that. He actually, I don't know if you saw Bert, but Dwayne went over a similar setup on a bunch of different markets using a 30-minute time frame. And we did it on, and the same thing, red, white, blue.
Uh-huh.
It looks very nice.
Okay. Bert,
if you promise not to run away, I'll show you again real quick.
All right.
Can you sit still for a minute? I know you got
a
job there. I know. All right. By the way, for those who don't know, Bert is our broker. He and Leslie at Daniels Trading. Their information is on our site. And here you go, Bert. Here's the old red, white, and blue. This is on the euro. This is on a 30-minute chart.
Holy smokes.
I thought you'd like that. Here's the red, here's the white, here's the blue, here's the crossover, here's the pullback. All the ingredients of a smoking hot CFRN trade. There you go. There's the blue, there's the white, there's the red, there's the pullback, and down she goes.
Go back a little bit further.
Oh,
wow.
He wants to see just one more day.
Look at that.
One more?
You
want one more?
All right, I'll get into this. I was trading silver all day using this yesterday while I was waiting for someone, for my wife to start screaming at me.
Okay, got a little dicey here. You're wondering, okay, but, just follow the bouncing colored bar. Now, this was Sunday night, so now...
Well, the silver did that yesterday a little bit. I got caught in that first little chop.
I know somebody's going, well, that's just 1 week. That's a fluke. Okay, so I'll just roll back to Friday. And
actually, in this week,
red, white, blue,
where it's been so flat all week.
And by the way, Bert, before you came on, I disclaimed it about 50 times that we're looking at this after the fact. Just in case your compliance department's listening in, you know, have them play the podcast back. No one disclaims like I do. People, you're a little over the top with that disclaimer, aren't you? I hope so. Yeah. I hope so. All right, so that was it on the Eurobert real quick one more time, just so you can see it with your peepers. Here's the red, white, and blue on the gold. Look where I caught this gold. Right here. Pull back here. And if we scoot back a little further, it caught this whole move right here. Now, this is an hourly chart, Bert, and I know you do like hourly charts.
Yeah.
The red, the white, the blue, the pullback. I mean, these are nice trending markets, okay? So there's certainly going to be times when...
And that's the BBC, the green line?
Yes, sir. Color change, cross, pullback, all the things we look for, you know, in the other markets, in the other time frames, and so... That's kind of where it all is.
Someone had asked, never mind.
Go ahead. You don't have to softball us. We'll take hard questions.
Did I tell you we're in soybeans today?
No, you didn't. I saw a thing pop up on my screen, but I hadn't had a chance to chase it down. What's up?
Bought and sold soybeans this morning, and I think it was $200 something.
Nice. Are we out already?
Yeah.
Is there still an aggressive exit on?
That actually got stopped out. So what we do, and I probably said this before, we buy and sell two contracts in between the initial and the faded number. And then I'll take one out at the initial exit, and I'll take one out at the ordinary, and just forget about the aggressive. Why is that? Aggressives, a lot of times, to get out the same price as ordinary. So, you know, why inherit the additional risk? But that was soybeans. And the other guys... There's a lot of listeners that are on the Soybean Messenger, so for you guys that I do that for, we're in out of soybeans. So.
Bert, you spend a lot of time on the train, right?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Do you read when you're on the train, or do you work?
I look at, like... I read, like, I don't read a book, no. I read, like, the news, you know, the stuff,
yeah.
What happened in the day, you know, stuff like that.
Imagine if you had somebody who could actually read to you. How cool would that be? You know who Donnie Deutsch is, the guy with the big idea?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big marketing dude or CNBC?
I frustrated the hell out of them that I seemed unable to buckle down. Frankly, school bored me. Getting good grades wasn't important to me. Having fun was. I was a strategic genius on the playground, but when the bell rang and I was placed in a classroom, I was adrift. I was full of energy, restless, distracted, a big talk.
85,000 titles, guys. This is our new sponsor. Yes, I'm going to continue to talk about them because you can go there and you can download a free audiobook. Okay? Absolutely free. Just go to audibletrial.com/CFRN. 85,000 titles from business to religion and spirituality. There's Bibles, you name it. New York Times bestsellers list. And again, it's a free trial. You get one book for free. Now, if you like the idea of audiobooks, you like being able to ride on the train, put your little earbuds in, rest your eyes because you've been staring at screens all day.
This is Chapter 1, and Chapter 1 is called, What About the Flat Tire? Several years ago, we had an art show at our church. I had been giving a series of teachings on peacemaking, and we invited artists...
This is one of the most controversial books in the world right now, written by Rob Bell. Some of you know who he is, you hate him. Some of you know who he is, you love him. And some of you just don't know who he is. However, I encourage you to take the free trial. audibletrial.com/CFRN, and that will be the last plug for them today. Three is a good number. Okay. Where do we go from here? We want to go to the desert?
Yeah.
To Nevada? To the bunker?
This song from America. I've been through the desert on a horse. What a great
felt
song.
Good to be out of the rain.
Good morning, Dwayne. Good morning, Bert. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, David.
Good morning, David.
How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing good. We're just up here trading the market, selling books. Boy, we're having a great time.
You are having a good old time. I'm listening in as well.
Well, good. Be sure to take your free trial, buddy. Hey, and I know some of you are thinking, you know, hey, that Dwayne guy, I don't like him so much, so he might get something out of that, you know? So I'm just going to go straight to audible.com, and I'm just going to so you don't get the free book there. Go ahead, try. Go to audible.com. You won't get it.
Okay. Well, you've got special hooks on that
power.
One.
Yeah, no. Seriously, guys, it's a free book. I mean, you put it in your phone, you put it in your MP3 player. You can even put it on your computer. Just kick back, put your feet up, close your eyes, tilt your Panama hat down over your nose there. And just soak it up. All right, David. What's happening in the markets, man?
Well, gosh, where should we begin? Do you want to start with the S&P, and we can go from there? Same stuff, probably, that we've talked about a number of times. The bigger picture, the March 14th weekly bottom, which for those who are going to our Reflected Wave seminar will know exactly why the week of March 14th was the on-time week for a bottom, and that we had forecast a multi-week advance off of that, and we're clearly in the throes of that right now with a continued advance up here. It's highly likely that this week will close pretty well, and that'll be further confirmation. And then, essentially, we're looking for the bounce to continue, and then later, with the potential of further decline. Now, we'll judge that a little bit later because we never really got the full amount, the full natural amount of decline quite yet off of the top that was February top that was forecast for a 115, approximate 115-point decline. So, you know, if they can't do that, if it turns out that they just really can't do the 115, that will be an early indication much later for us to have yet again a longer-term long position for potentially substantially higher prices. Now, we're not there yet. I'm just pointing out that we would be talking about that sort of thing later if, after having this multi-week advance, we don't have a further break to new lows. So we'll see how that all plays out. Normally, under normal conditions, of a weekly bottom is a very powerful indication for a reversal. I mean, it's a big time frame. It's got a lot of power behind it, and this can easily send prices back up to 1326 or higher in pretty short order. We're at 1303 now. I'm not making a forecast there. I'm just saying that's just a place that would be easy for the market to get to based on this. So we'll see how the next couple of weeks gets handled with regard to this, but there's probably some good trading opportunities, I would think, in the S&P back and forth based off of shorter term time frames. So that's the big picture for us, is that they're confirming that bottom, they're continuing to move up. Our turning point calendar had forecast the 21st as a top. We had a nice decline off of that from 1296 down to 1279. That top was only really on the pit traded version of the S&P. So today's market moved higher, and now the calendar is forecasting tomorrow as another important daily top.
So that means we're already in the window of time with today where we would want to know what to do at these critical levels, whether we should be shorting or whether we should be waiting for a little further action on the upside. I'm inclined to wait for a little bit more action on the upside, just, you know, just as a general picture here before I get too excited about the short side. But there is some nice setups setting up for the reversal off of this top. So that would be a tradable decline that we could take advantage of. That's what I'm looking forward to seeing how that plays out. With regard to today specifically, the market has shown a little bit of unusual behavior, at least as far as we're concerned, this morning, and has reversed. The reversal is not unusual, and we're basically so far sort of in a miniature trend day up. Not miniature, but, you know, quiet trend day up here. We're testing a pretty important level up at 1304. This is a level that I'm sure is listed in most people's panels.
We don't have anything, David, all the way up to 1311.
Okay.
We've got dynamic that just printed here at 1302.75, so we're kind of, you know, holding in that area. But how surprised were you on the overnight that this thing ran back up through 94.95? Did that surprise you at all?
Honestly, not particularly, because we're inside a move that, you know, we're in the direction of the trend. The trend is up.
Okay.
Off of the weekly bottom. No, that's not really that much of a surprise. That isn't. Are you talking about yesterday with regard to them trading up to 94 where we were talking about?
Well, yeah,
about,
you and I talked. You know, you said, you know, maybe I get short at 90, but I'd really like to get short at 94.
Yeah, if they got up to 94, then, and they had a little reaction, but it wasn't much off there. And
it wasn't.
Today, you know, they've moved higher. And that was just a general outlook that, you know, if they got up there, we'd want it. Later in the day, after we got off with you, we actually forecast a move up to 94, and we actually traded it. We had about a 4.5-point move that we traded on the way up to 94, because there actually was, at that point, a forecast for 94. So they did that. They did 96 as well, and then
so
today
they're... So you got long from this area in here up to the 94. Okay. And then did you have a call to short it, or... The market had closed at that point.
Oh, yeah, it was pretty much closed. I think we were done for the day at that point. What were my feeling right now is that I don't want to trade on the one day early. If we do trade short, it would be for very short term today, like most of the trades on Messenger Pro. But there could be a setup for a longer term trade tomorrow on the S&P. Tomorrow is March 25th. And that's listed in the calendar as the next important top. So we'll see if we have a better indication tomorrow for a pretty tradable decline off of that level, wherever they are. Even if they are up at the higher prices that you just mentioned, you know, whether they're up at 1310, 1311, or wherever, that will give us an opportunity to trade. So we have we got a nice day on the upside going here for people who... We have a number of people who are sort of using longer-term indications to trade options, and options can be very nice to have in the background. For those of you who don't know much about options, it's probably a subject that at some point it would be worth spending some time on to learn about, because you can use options in a much more comforting way, if I could put that term out, rather than futures. Options allow you to, as an example, sell what's called puts, and puts are bets that the market, you're betting the market's going to go up, but you're selling that bet to somebody who believes it's going to go down, and you collect a premium that he pays you for that bet. You're essentially sort of playing the house and taking the bet. You still have to be right, but the nature of options is that they decay with time. And that decay works in your favor as a seller of options. So if you were selling options down based on the weekly bottom, time passes and those options start to decay as the market also moves away from the price that your option was sold at, the strike price they call it, the price of the option starts to shrink. And as it shrinks, that's money going into your account. It's actually the other person's value is going away. The shrinking is on him. and that money is going to you. But it's not something that you have to watch tick for tick, and that's really the value of it in terms of the comfort, is that you don't have to worry about it tick for tick like we do futures. It kind of sits there and you trade it back and forth and you work with it. It's a longer-term deal because you're going to be in it, in most cases, for a couple of weeks, usually waiting for both time decay and price movement to work in your favor. So options are something that you might want to take a look at. They can be very useful for longer-term indications, monthly tops, monthly bottoms, quarterly tops, quarterly bottoms, that kind of thing. So anyway, so basically, yeah, we could see sharply higher prices from here. And really, for us, from this point forward, after 1304, the next level would be up higher of some of the numbers that you mentioned earlier, and that would be tradable into tomorrow, either on the upside or trading against the calendar for, in other words, the turning point, trading in the direction of a new emerging trend on the downside. And we actually may have a kind of a daily roadmap that comes out based on that setup. I'm viewing yesterday, very much like what Bert said, I've mentioned this many times on the program, that the 23rd would be a very important turning point, plus or minus a day, for many of these markets, and that includes the S&P. So yesterday was a bottom on the 23rd. That's obviously how we're interpreting it here with today's advance. Normally that bottom would run at least into the 25th on the daily roadmap. That's a different technique, and it also is a reflected wave high that would be due on the 25th as well. So that's why I'd kind of like to wait until tomorrow before really getting excited about the short side of the S&P. I think it might be wise to wait. So okay. That's pretty much everything right now, short term, over the next day or so for the S&P. Tomorrow's Friday and it ends the week, and so we'll see how the market treats that, and we'll probably have more complete setup for you tomorrow on that market. You seeing anything here interesting, Dwayne or Michael?
Big bounce off the top that we just had here. I'm looking across a few different markets right here. The silver just tanked. The Russell just tanked. The ES is dropping off the top. I'm just watching everything right here. We had on the, not to get into too much detail, we had opportunities to take some trades here for the partners if they were following along with the markets here.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly with the Russell. Those of you who were watching what I was doing with the Russell this morning, I just did it again from 8:15, and it's now down at 8:12:50. So that's 15 ticks on the Russell.
Nice.
And I'm just skipping around here. The YM sold off too. Everything just sold off the high of the day right here. 12120 is where the YM topped out. 1304.75 is where the ES topped out. Now the ES is getting down to the psychological level of 1300 right here. We'll see if that's going to hold or not. We're getting bearish crosses everywhere, suggesting that we're going to continue this move down off the top here. So. We just have to see how it all comes together.
Okay.
Good. On the hourly chart,
I would like to.
On the hourly chart, we had dynamic support, which held. We just had dynamic resistance, which so far is holding. And what Michael just said about that 1300 number, that's going to be important. A question for you, Dave, from a listener who I think is relatively new with us. And I know the answer, but let me just put it out there. Chris asks, how do we correlate these projected numbers and dates with news events and economic reports?
Well, you'll find that the correlation exists already, that for the most part, important news will often happen right around or on these dates where reversals because what is a market reversal? It's usually based on some news event or some rumor, something that happens. Now, when he says, how do we correlate them, my first answer is that they are kind of, in many cases, naturally correlated. You'll see turning points occur. You know, we've had two recent big moves in crude that were tied into forecasts that we had made for crude for specific price movement, And on both of those dates, there were big news associated with those dates. And so the news just corresponds with it. If,
so,
on the other hand, he means perhaps, what am I supposed to do with the news when it comes out on or around those dates? You know, does that affect the forecast? Maybe that's what he's saying. And usually they actually play into the forecast. They're actually quite often the cause, so-called cause, for the reversal on that date. And then when you run to people and say, but we forecast, you know, that date, then they say, well, yeah, the news came out and said this. You know, and that's what happens.
So what you're saying, David Williams, is that when you put out a turning point forecast, as that day approaches, people should put the goggles on because something's about to hit the fan. Just go turn on the news and see what it is.
Yeah.
Right?
I've said this before, that, and there's no doubt in my mind that, I mean, I've, a better way of saying this is I've proved it to myself conclusively, to my own satisfaction, maybe that's a better way of putting it, that market turning points can be forecast using the market alone, and those dates will correspond in a high percentage of cases with important news, especially if those dates are what we call volatility cycles. And volatility cycles, a cycle isn't quite the right word, but just for the lack of a better term, a volatility cycle is a date in which powerful directional moves are expected. And you'll see in virtually every case there's some important news that's associated with that. The reversal on the March 16th reversal for the euro, that we called for a $3.74 advance off of the March 16th bottom, that was a volatility cycle. Because what's going to make the market move $3.74? It did move $3.74. What made that happen? Well, in most cases, not in every case, but in most cases, news is going to come out that's going to help propel and explain that movement. Now, a person can make the argument, and a lot of people do this in cycle work, they say, hey, the news doesn't really make the market move because I forecast this date, you know, let's say it could be me speaking, and I forecast that date as a reversal and a big move, and so now the news comes along and everyone's saying it's the news that caused it, when it was really me and my forecast that caused it. You know, that's the feeling that you get. But in reality, the cycle that you're tracking in the market really, in a sense, is a news cycle as well. And if you, you know, you believe in free will and you believe that everybody does things and things happen by accident and on and on and on, the fact is that in some way, shape, or form, news, big news, corresponds with these bigger turning points, these volatility cycles and things many, many times over and over again. It just works that way, rather than worrying about how to explain it. And so my feeling is that if you were a person who had called a turning point and there was big news on that day and you say, well, it was the news didn't really cause it, I think the truth is closer to the fact is that you identified a correct cycle, and that cycle is associated with world events, and it caused, it was all together with news. News was part of that. The whole thing works together. So you really can't separate it out and say that news doesn't move the market. News is a part of the market. It's part of the reason the euro went up $3.74, and that you were able to time the occurrence of that news and that reversal with your work. That's probably a better way of putting it. But in general, I think it's a good idea to think of news as something that you want to have happen, because that will be the excuse, if you want to use that term, excuse, or the reason for the market to move. And it really does push the market. It really can make a big difference in how fast the market moves up, et cetera. I mean, I've seen it so many times, and I've been through it all, at least for, you know, at this point in my, you know, doing this, where you first believe that news has nothing to do with it because the cycle called it and the market moved it. But later you start realizing that the cycles and the news both run together. And because they run together, you're really kind of forecasting both of those things. And I don't have an answer for you as to why people supposedly have free will and yet big news events occur on these dates. It's just the way it is. It's just the way it works. And,
so what you're saying is one guy hears the guitar, another guy hears the trombone, but you just hear the music.
Something like that. Another analogy. Thanks, Dwayne. You're lots of fun today. You're good. Another example would be a church bell. You know, the church bell rings and everybody gets up and goes to church. But the church bell doesn't cause people to get up. It simply times them getting up. It's not a direct cause to get people to go up. The church bell rings, but it isn't a absolute cause to get people out of their chair and going to church. There's other factors that make those people go to church when the church bell rings. The church bell times them getting up and going to church, but doesn't directly cause it. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. So you can look at cycles as timing something, but not necessarily directly causing it, or you can think of it in any way you want. I'm giving you a bunch of different ways you could think about it. But that's one way to think about it, is the church bell analogy, that something does indeed happen. In this case, the church bell is the cycle that times it, but doesn't actually cause it. It simply times it. So that's one way to think about astrology as well. People always say, well, do the planets affect us? Well, maybe they don't directly, and I'm only saying this because the planets, I think, maybe certainly can affect us on Earth. They certainly affect, the moon certainly affects the ocean. That's a pretty big effect all by itself, and there's much larger planets out there, and we're all in a time and space continuum, so to speak, that's sort of like jelly, and it all works together. So when those planets are orbiting, they're affecting the whole business, even though they're very, very far away. So I'm not so sure that they don't directly affect people, but let's just say they don't for the argument,
and
you say, well, I'm sorry?
And that we're all just part of the same cycle.
We're all part of the same thing, and that when planets do these things, and they say, well, the, you know, Jupiter went into its fourth house and, you know, conjuncted something else, that actually isn't a direct cause for something. It simply is timing something correctly. So you have to think about this a little bit to see the distinctions between a direct cause and merely timing something, but I think the church bell example might be good enough to give you that idea.
Because of the recession, Jupiter was forced to move into an apartment.
What's that?
I said because of the recession, Jupiter was forced to move into an apartment.
To move into an apartment. Jupiter's no longer orbiting. It's now an apartment on Fremont Street in Koval Lane here in Las Vegas. If you want to visit Jupiter, we're selling tickets. Jupiter would have trouble, though, getting onto Fremont Street in Las Vegas since 1,300 Earths could fit inside of it. And that's just one good reason why you're not going to see it on Fremont Street.
Yeah,
it's more like Fremont Street would be on Jupiter. So, it's a really big planet, what I'm trying to say.
I got you.
Anyway,
I said yowza twice today, so I'm done for the year, because you can only use a word like that so many times, and I've overused it. Did you know that in the book, I'm trying to think of the guy's name that wrote the book on, it's a book about writing well. You're supposed to use an exclamation point only once every 100,000 words.
Well, I'm going to have to apologize then, because I've used it a whole lot more than that.
I use it all the time, yeah.
Do we send a check to him? Is there some kind of a punishment? What happens when you...
The grammar police or the sentence structure police will show up at your door, and they will demand...
What's the movie with Rambo... What's the guy from Rambo?
Sylvester Stallone.
And he is taken out of a cryogenic freeze, and he comes back, and even if you say a bad word, Demolition Man. So I just was remembering that because you're saying there's the police, and that movie had him, every time somebody says something, there's a recording that goes off, and they fine you a certain amount of money. That's probably probably in the top 10 worst movies ever made, if somebody wants to see that. You know, it might be fun to just go take a look at that movie, just realizing that it's really, really bad.
Which movie was it?
Demolition Man.
Demolition Man. I don't think I've seen that one.
Yeah, that's good. You're doing good then.
Hey, these guys want to look at a silver chart. Michael, can you bring up the chart? Oh, I didn't make it.
Yeah, you can. I can. You just got to make me organize it.
I thought you automatically came in as one. Okay. Let me fix that. They're going to suck you into the silver world now, David.
Well, Bert has mentioned to me that we should look at silver as well, and I want to do that at some point.
All right. Well, I will show you in a minute.
All right, Michael, here it comes. Charts are coming to you. Well, now they're coming to you. There
okay.
you go.
Here they come. All right. Let me just see what the audience view is. There we go. Beautiful. All right. Over here on the right is the silver chart. Okay. So looking up, I'll just blow it up so we're looking at just silver. All right. So the red, white, and blue, you know, you'd be getting long in here. Red, white, and blue, you'd be getting short in here. That one didn't last very long, but then we got it going again right here. Look at this move on the silver. Just tanked down here. You would have been getting short right in this area over here. 37,984. Excuse me. 37,984. And right now, it is all the way down here at 37,440. So, 984 minus 440. What was that? 544 divided by 20. 27.2, and it's 25 bucks a tick. That doesn't seem right. I think I did it wrong. But anyway.
Birch here. Birch, where are you?
Yeah, 984. Birch should be in there, but I don't know.
Birch's the one that asked me to bring this thing up.
Yeah, he's not in the staff list. You'd have to unmute him, I think.
Okay.
Or I could unmute him, I guess. Yeah, he's there. He might be busy.
All right.
I don't know if that was
yeah.
just
he typed in bring up the silver chart. So okay.
Anyway, we wanted to show you this huge move down in silver right here that was nabbed by this. 984. No, it's the 84 down here to 50. It's 25 bucks a tick. So
this is not the mini silver. This is the full.
No, this is the real silver.
Okay.
This is the big silver. But what Bert's been doing is trading the mini silver off of the charts. You know, trading the mini silver contract from the charts of the big silver because it pretty much follows it. And you know, this is 25 bucks a tick, and the mini silver is $1 a tick. So
okay, but even with this sell-off, silver is still up 30 cents on the day.
Yeah, but Dwayne, do this. Aside from that, go to the daily chart. And draw a line off the tops. Today's high will be roughly
Where do you want to draw?
Off of those two tops right there. Go to the one over here on January. I got a bigger picture. Go left.
Over here.
Yeah, try that one.
Okay. And up to right there.
Right. Yeah, now take the other one, go left to that one. Yeah, there you go.
This one or the next one
yeah.
over?
Yeah, go ahead and take that one. I got a different chart. All right, let's look at that. All right, point is we're in an area where it could fail. So, you know, what does this suggest? Maybe a short-term correction in silver? Maybe. On a bigger picture. And then if you break it down to what David or Michael has, those that have the indicators, we pointed this out this morning, take a serious look at this setup because there's some opportunity in there intraday. So...
Yes, there is. I mean, just looking at it, the red, white, and blue. Over here we had red, white, and red. Over here we had way down here, red, white, and blue. And you see it just kept moving up. And this is...
You don't even need the lines. I mean, if it turns red, what do we do the other day? Tuesday I was in the room.
Yeah.
We went
through
to red and we just sold it.
Yeah, we're just doing based on our color.
I sold the silly thing and made 10 cents on it.
Yeah. we just wanted to point that out because Bert and I just texted back and forth about the silver move that was going on.
At the same time, though.
No, that's a nice move.
Let me show you the Russell. I know, Dwayne, I know I need to go back to therapy.
It's a disease.
It is. But
he relapsed this morning, David, in front of everybody.
Yeah, I did.
We've been off that Russell for 3 years now.
3 years? Years. But I took this trade in here, and I took this trade over here. This is the last one that everybody saw me take in the room this morning. These were the ones that I took. I took that one, I took that one, and this one this morning. Those were the trades that I took this morning, but there were many more opportunities. And, you know, for those of you listeners, or those of you people that are in the room right now that aren't partners, that haven't taken the free trial, get out there to CFRN.net and get the free trial, and you'll see. I haven't traded the TF in a long time, as Dwayne has said, and for good reason. I never got it down as well as we do right here.
Okay. And what sort of risk are you using on those trades? What's your
about
stock?
Six ticks.
Six ticks.
About $60 per contract, yeah. Okay. About that.
That's reasonable.
Yep. And I'm looking for at least that, you know, preferably multiples of that, which are available in the target. The way I was doing it today was more looking, depending where I got in, I would look at the prior pivot that got me into the trade and expect it to get there, and it did get there every time I traded it. Got to that pivot, right? Just one more market.
Colors.
Okay. Yeah, we tried to color code everything. It's actually supposed to make it simpler for you. Easier to make the decision.
Color
code. Easier to go on. Go short on red. There. I just wanted to point all that out.
Well, that's good. That's good stuff.
David, did you go over the soybean trade? Did you go over the soybean trade?
I haven't,
today?
But we can do that right now if you'd like.
Let's
switch over to, if you guys, are you through Michael or? Michael? Michael's still there?
Let me put it up here. Hang on.
Yeah, he's going to bring it up.
I was just going to say if he was done with his markets there, then we'll go into soybeans. There's something really interesting happening on soybeans here, and I want to point it out. Since we're talking about it, but we'll go through the trade and then I'll give you the setup for it. I don't think I messaged this to Bert yet, but I'm seeing it now, so we might as well talk about it when we get through the trade portion of it. All we really did this morning was the market had advanced early in the session up to approximately 1347, a swing high that they made there, and we had shorted it at 1345, and the market had a nice swing straight down from that level. I'll let you catch up to wherever the current is. Is that a time chart or is that a tick chart or what is that?
This is a range chart, actually.
Oh, it might be easier to find it on a just if you can switch over to a time-based chart.
Okay.
Let's take a look there. Pretty much.
It's a 5-minute chart.
Okay, that's good. That's 5 minutes. So you see early today, I think it's the red that you have down here. So your candles are unusual because the red going up and the red going down. But that's your coloring. That's your trending.
Yeah. Right.
So back, if you move your cursor back to not the absolute bottom that was made, but the bottom previous to that. Go down low. There. That's the bottom that they advanced off of, and we had placed a sell limit up at 1345.
Right,
and then
they
got, yeah, exactly. And so they stopped right there, and they reversed down nicely. Then, now, we have seen the market come back up. That next advance stopped us out of our aggressive, I don't know what we made on that trade, maybe 4 cents, 5 cents or something. Bert would know. Then we got stopped out of our break of the aggressive remaining position. And here's what's happening on soybeans. This could be a really big trade if somebody wants to either wait for a little more confirmation. But it's complex. I'll tell you why, but let me give you what the setup was. Originally, we had forecast that March 18th/21st would mark a top and that the market would decline 56 cents off of that top. The top made on March 18th was $13.85. If you subtract 56 cents, that's $13.29. Today's low was $13.38, just 9 ticks off of that low. Now, the fact that they completed the majority of that target is a pretty important piece. But they did something yesterday, because the next important date for this market is March 24th. That's today. So here's the big thing. If the market were to break down from here, I would still be interested in selling short. It's too complicated to explain all the reasons why, but there's a potential for a much continued move. But if they firm up here, and if they close decently today, above, and let me tell you what the number is, above... 1344. Well, you know, that is one of the numbers, but there's another number that's important as well, and that's, yeah, either 1344, let's use that one, let's use that, 1344, that could be considered the stronger position, and another powerful advance would come from that. So what I want to do for my own trading here is it's kind of complicated, because the market has done some things that they're too complicated to explain. I don't want to go into the details, but the fact is that this date is pretty important, with one of the volatility cycles that we talked about, and so we want to watch this. If they start to firm up here and tomorrow perhaps start moving higher, we want to be long in this market, and Bert, I'll be sending you a trade set up for that as well. We might even consider going long today, but that would be considered pretty aggressive at this particular juncture. So
basically, we could say this, David. Let's say, for further confirmation, if we wait for the settlement,
yeah,
and if we get it close at or above or real close to 1344, then maybe the March 24th is a cycle low, which might give us a signal to go long,
yes,
tonight or tomorrow, assuming that we hold probably 1329, which was the original forecast of the downside.
Right. That is correct.
All right. So I could probably buy. Okay, I got it in my head. Okay.
Yeah, this would indicate, you know, if and you know what, rather than giving all the price targets right now, let's wait for them to confirm, because I don't want to throw too many numbers out, but this is good stuff. This is potentially a very powerful setup in soybeans. So that's basically it right now. That's the big thing for soybeans, is that we're sitting on an important date. It's for people who are interested, the confusing part, or not the confusing part, the part that I didn't want to bring up is that yesterday's price action did something that could indicate that the event that we're expecting on the 24th happened one day early, and I don't want to go into that detail. That's why this setup isn't quite as clear just yet. And you know what? When they're not that clear, don't do anything. Just wait around for it to clear up, and then you'll get less money, but with more certainty. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think there's just about everything right with that. Sometimes the markets set up things very nicely for you, like they did on crude for the last couple of trades, and sometimes it isn't. You wait for a little more clarification, and then you take action, and that can be a very powerful way of keeping you out of stopping yourself out of a lot of trades while you're waiting to get in, and then ultimately you might miss the final move, and you know all that stuff. We've all been through that. So we want to graduate junior high and move on to higher levels of psychology and of trading, so that we're not stuck in ruts, you know, like I have to be in every move, or ruts like I have to catch the whole move, or ruts like if I get stopped out, I can't get back in because they already hurt me, or, you know, on and on and on. Those are all junior high school level things. You know, we have to get past all of that so that we can relax into a much more cohesive, consistent trading plan. That plan doesn't have to be my plan, but it has to be cohesive for you. It has to fit for you, and it has to be absent of all of those lower-level compulsions that drive most traders crazy, because they keep doing the same thing over and over again. And this is me. I mean, I've done this my whole trading career. I've done those things over and over again. I'm not speaking down to anybody by saying that. I'm just as much a part of that as anybody has ever been. In fact, maybe if there was awards being given out for that, I would have gotten some of those awards. Awards for having done the wrong thing at the right time every time. So
yeah, I got a wall of those.
You want to do the right thing at the right time, not the wrong thing at the right time. So just have to make that one little correction. Oh, it's the right thing you want me to do at the right time. Yes, that's correct. so anyway, let's
Lynn,
move on.
Lynn has such a great sense of humor. He says, okay, if Michael put his phone on vibrate, he could get a full body massage.
Yeah, I was going to mention the same thing. Thanks, Lynn. Michael
Thanks,
seems to be pretty popular. I don't know if he's running a separate little business on the side.
He's like
selling God knows what to people. I mean, are there? You jump in your car real quick, Mike, and then come back, take little trips, and then come back real quick. Or what?
Yeah.
What is going on over there?
That's what I do. That's what
okay.
I do.
Just checking.
Yeah, that's exactly.
They're all worried. You see, I thought I was the only one thinking, what is this guy's phone? He's getting the message every you know 6 minutes or something.
I
know.
Demand.
Here, let me answer it for
demand.
You. Let me answer it for you. It's my wife.
Yeah.
Hey,
it
Alan
was,
wants
it, most
to
of
know.
It was. Most of it.
Inquiring Minds and Alan want to know, if 1344 is broken on beans, should we go short?
Those Inquiring Minds want to know if 1344, no, I wouldn't go short at 1344 just yet. Here's the issue, why this is complicated. Most of the original 58 cent decline from the March 18th top has occurred. They've come within 9 ticks of that. So I'm not excited about going short just yet because most of that forecast has been completed. But tomorrow I'm going to, if everything lines up, I'm going to give Bert the next trade. And please, I hope that you're signed up with Bert to get those, and then you'll get the straight scoop and the information and a trade set up from it as well. Today's what's that?
We just confuse them here. And
yeah,
then,
we confuse you here, and then Bert straightens you out on the other end.
No,
you know, I'm dancing around here. I'm trying to give it as clear as I can. I try to avoid the really complex stuff. This is a little complex. The situation here is a little complicated, and I think it'd be better to wait a little bit here rather than jump on this, right now. You can listen. And by the way, please take your own signals if you want to. If there is something there, Alan or Lynn, if there's something there at 1344 on the downside, then don't let me talk you out of that. But for the kind of trade that we're talking about, I'm not ready because of the complexity of the setup here. And I want some of that to clarify for us a little bit. And I'm willing to give up, obviously, I'd be very happy to give up money. Clarification, clearness, understanding, that's the goal. Making money comes second to that. If you make money the first goal and clearness and understanding the second goal, then you end up getting stopped out of a lot of positions and all that stuff. A lot of the trades that we've recently given out, the euro, the crude, and whatever else that have been runners, that have really run good, we've simply waited for the really clear and obvious to happen in those markets. And that's why those trades look and work so well, is because we're not trying to guess or get ahead of our own understanding. Just find the part that you understand, wait for the understanding first, and then making money the secondary thing. Everybody wants to make money. Everybody's so excited about making money, and it is a beautiful thing, you know, if you can do it. But in order to do it, it can't be first in line. There really is a natural order to doing this correctly, a natural order of priorities, and making money is not the number one priority. Making money is probably the third one down. The very first thing is to get clarification and understanding of what the position of the market is. And then from there, there's a second one, and then finally, making money would be third. But if you make making money first, you're probably going to find out that you trade very similar to a lot of people who, without even thinking, make money their first, making money their first thing. And I did that for many years as well. And it's not my first intention anymore, and I've said it before. I never come into the office with the idea of making money. I just don't have that on my mind. I don't think about it that way anymore. I don't press that. I don't lean on it. I don't do any of that. I simply wait for what I understand and clarification. Sometimes it's really easy. Sometimes it's a little more complicated, and I wait for a little more clarification. But I can show you a really consistent number of trades that a person would say, well, gosh, this looks really good. A lot of nice trades. And those trades are because I'm not taking trades where that clearness and understanding isn't available to me. And that saves me a lot of grief in these larger trades that we've been giving out lately. So we'll watch soybeans for that. Let's take a quick run over the markets, and then I won't cause you too much more grief here. We had the bond set up the other day in the T-bonds, the 30-year T-bonds. This is a market we're experimenting with. We did reach our initial target of 1.4 or whatever it was points on the upside. The market did advance and then now is in a downtrend. I'll give another trade or another setup for that. I don't suggest people necessarily take these T-bond trades until we get a little more understanding and clarification about what makes that market really work, because we're not 100% sure we have that dialed down. Let me see if there's anything else. Okay, we did complete the Euro trade. I know one of your listeners was in this, Dwayne. This is where we had the 142.22, whatever the target was on the upside, and we said that they would drop $1.87, and that would bring the market down to 140.42, and today's market bottomed at 140.35. So that's $1.87. That's a nice little chunk of change. You wouldn't be able to get all that, but it's roughly $2,300 worth of movement based off of the top that we had called on March 22nd. There is going to be another trade in that as well, but there's no setup. Today they had a nice bounce off of that, but we'll wait for the next setup that we're comfortable with in that. And then crude. We had talked about a big move occurring on March 23rd, plus or minus a day. We identified on the 22nd that it was likely coming in or possibly coming in one day early at the 102.10 level. We forecast an initial three-point advance, a reaction, and then a continued advance of approximately a total of 6 points. That would have brought the market up to 108 or so. Today's high, I think, was 106.50. I mentioned yesterday that there's stuff right around 106.70 that could block the market. But at this point, obviously, the trade's got at least $4,000 in it. I would like to see how they solve this and how they handle this situation where they are right here. They're potentially, right now, in May crude, is another setup. And so we'll probably be messaging that later to Bert today. So, anyway, decent move. We did not reach the full upside yet, and we don't necessarily have to in this short time frame, but I'd be curious to see how they handle this, because this has some potential for an important reversal here as well. And we'll talk about that when we have the full setup for that. Gold, I mentioned to Bert this morning that the next turning point in gold is right here and right now. This is March 24th. It sure looks like a March 24th top is in. This market, if we're correct about this, and I have not messaged this out yet, so this is a little bit of going off the cuff here, but I would be looking for, if you'll give me just 1 minute here, am I reading this right, Michael or anybody? Is it $1,448 on, is it April, or what
gold
month are we talking about? Yeah, are we in April
gold, and right now it's 1430, 410.
Yeah, it's really falling off.
Okay. So
I think your cycle is going to be absolutely correct with the sell-off today.
Do you?
If it's the top.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, they've already done the initial move off of this, but put it this way, there's another 16 points. That's, I guess, is that 1600 per contract? Or
yeah, just call it? Let's call it $16.
Yeah, $16. Potential on the downside for this market, and I'll message you that. So this is something for you to take a look at your stuff right now, and possibly take advantage of a short trade, either using Michael's and Dwayne's indicators or using Dwayne's and Michael's indicators. That way I'm fair to both of them.
Good.
Let me put you on hold for one moment here, and I'm going to be right back.
All right, we'll be here.
See you, Dwayne? Okay. Hey, I'm going to give you back the chart so you can pull up that if you can pull up that 30-minute gold, because if he's right about the cycle top, there's an opportunity here. And I think there is, but I think you'll have verification on your on your indicators, too.
All right. Let's have a peek.
Okay, so I'm back. So, yeah, this is something to watch. Now, we're putting in a short-term bottom right around this point, potentially on gold. Just I'm talking about short-term on the intraday. So we want to see how they handle this bounce, but this will be something for tomorrow. None of these setups today that I'm giving are complete. You can see this. We're not giving out absolutes today because of the setup, the way that the market is here. But there's a good possibility for a nice reversal here on the gold market. If I had my way, I would like to short the market. I would have liked to have been selling somewhere around 14, if I could, 1444, 1445, something like that. We may not see that, but you can be comfortable. This is one point I'd like to make. There is a point where you will get to understand that you can actually get into a market at a point that seems like it's very dangerous. Most people, like myself, want to get in near extremes because the extremes are where the market turns. But there's many, and you can feel it in yourself, that it's very uncomfortable to be in a market, to enter a market at a point where you're in the middle somewhere. But quite often there are some really important junctures in the middle that you can be very safe getting in the market. And we should talk about that sometime. It's not for today's discussion because I'm, you know, this is, we don't have the time, and it's a whole subject unto itself. But there's quite a bit of many different ways to use this getting in the middle idea, where you can have high confidence that the market is going to continue at that point, rather than be worried that you're going to, you know, catch a swing all the way back up or something. There's quite a bit you can do, especially at the beginnings of bigger moves, like where we are in gold. That's why I'm bringing that up. So that's a subject we should go over sometime.
Bert, is this the chart you want me to bring up on gold?
Yeah, go ahead and bring up that 10-tick chart. David said he had a minor low here.
Okay, so you want me to go, I'm on the hourly now, you want me to go to a 10-tick range?
Yeah, just go to the one we use.
Range.
I'm actually excited about this gold, if this is right.
All right, guys, going from an hourly perspective to a 10-tick range. Let me scale it so you can see it. There we go. Okay.
All right. That's it. Let's see what happens in this time frame.
I'm going to shrink it down a little bit. How about that? Is that a little better?
Yeah, I think that's perfect. There's a point to that, but go ahead, David.
David had to step away.
Sorry, bro, what was that? Yeah, right here.
I was going to say go ahead and...
No, I'm here.
Okay. I was going to say go ahead and finish.
I'm back.
Okay.
You know, there wasn't a lot for me to finish, honestly. The only last thing I was going to mention was we had been watching sugar, and that's something that could be of... that's another market that we could be trading in.
Wait a minute.
Hang on.
We're still on the gold. You said that there was a short-term bottom in on the gold?
Well, I'm just saying that, yeah, roughly speaking, this isn't any straight outright forecast, but the gold market, let me bring it back up here myself.
It, on my screen, okay, because we can see the turn here, and we can see where we just did our little red, white, and blue action.
Well, there you are.
So, I mean, those, that's your work, you know, our work complementing your work, whatever, however way that works, reaching across the aisle to shake each other's hand, I don't know. But now we just printed resistance. So
okay.
When you say a short-term bottom, I mean, that really could have been from here to here. I mean, it could be,
well,
that correction could be over.
The market is in the on-time period right now for a bottom on some medium time frame, you know, 30-minute, whatever time frame,
okay.
You know, something larger than a tick chart. And then if they get a bounce off that, I would be interested in selling against that bounce, because of the cycle that we're in gold, where there's an important turn coming and all that. We haven't laid it all out yet, but I'm just giving the ideas for people to watch, because there's a sizable potential reversal still here in gold, and I, you know, I would want to be in on that, you know, as I'm sure everybody else would. So we're waiting to see a little more clarification of it, and I wouldn't be shorting it right at this moment, is a better way of saying what I said. Rather than worrying about why, I wouldn't quite short it just yet. So that's all. Yeah, and that there was in fact a small, short-term bottom. being formed here. So this would give us a pause for wanting to short it just right here. You know, sometimes these reversals give you all kinds of choppiness and then the big move. Sometimes they just go right in and give you the big move. And sometimes you miss it or you have to get in later. And so one of these days we can talk about that thing about getting in later where it seems like it's uncomfortable to get in there because you're not at any of the extremes. And that's something that I've struggled with myself. And so we can talk about that a little bit on another time. Okay.
Okay, and now for today's sugar report.
That's about all. And sugar, we for those of you who might have followed this, we had, let me get that chart up real quick. And again, I'm sorry, you know, today the setups just aren't there for us to have a complete setup like we've had recently that we can give out. But we had called for sugar to top on March 21st. And to have an initial move down of 87, not 87 cents, but 0.87 of a cent. And so that would bring it from 26.01 down to 25.14. They certainly did that. They went much lower. They got down. And then the forecast was for another 0.87 decline. And that would have brought you down to 24.27. And the lowest sugar got was 24.43 or something that Bert said on the overnight. So we missed that by 12 ticks or whatever the number is there. And these are new markets for us. We're still studying how they operate. But there was still a decent trade in that for whatever sugar's worth. Sugar also is approaching another important point turn here. And I don't actually, my chart is delayed, so I don't even know where sugar is today.
I'm sorry, Bert. July sugar is going to close in about 20 minutes.
Okay.
It's at 25.45. It's up 80.
Okay.
The high has been 25.62, and the low has been 24.43. So it just missed your objective by like 15, 16, 17 points.
Okay. That's quite a miss. I mean, even though it's livable because you could still be out of the position, but that's why I'm saying we're still experimenting with these markets, and I want to see if we have the numbers correct on this particular market with its what we call its base movement and all that stuff. So anyway, but that's it. Right now we're just waiting for further setups. I think the best thing we have going right now, even though today is very, very limited in many ways, is gold. I think that's the big one that I would be interested in taking a look at and trading. So,
well, I do know that a lot of people are excited about the introduction of the T-bills to what we do here on the show. And so I just wanted to take this opportunity to introduce everyone to our new bond trader. That would be Bond, Dwayne Bond.
James Bond.
Right there on the screen, guys. Mm-hmm. That's your bond trader.
There's Wayne Bond.
He's still got the tag on his umbrella. Okay. Nice hat.
Yeah, that actually is Wayne, by the way. That is your radio show host. That's him. In a store.
Goofing around in the clothing store yesterday, talking to David Williams on the telephone.
Okay, well, that's
my
fair
life
enough.
Is an open book.
Anyway, speaking of T-bonds.
My driver was waiting outside. Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Good. You looked good there. okay, let's see. What did we make a low of here? Yeah, we still have the potential for lower lows.
I think I did. I just made the low. That was the low of the show right there, and there it was.
That was the low. Okay, well, there you go. Fair enough. Well, Dwayne, I think for today that's everything. We don't have to stretch at the market. You know, today we're on the S&P. We're up. We're touching critical levels up here. There probably is going to be a trade a little bit later today and possibly for us a roadmap. But for the time being, we'll just let these markets move around and let's keep an eye on gold. One last thing for people who are watching gold, I just want to say this, that I would be, you don't have to use a really big number. Let me rephrase this here. Let me get this. Just give me one second here and get up that same chart that we were using before. Okay. Yeah, at this point, you know, the $1,444, $1,445 level, which I think was an old high that they made back on March 7th. At this point, I wouldn't want to see any hourly or daily closes, but especially daily closes above that level. So if we do end up going short, I would be using that idea as a potential stop out for this market movement. But I have to say that we're at a very critical spot right here and right now on gold. And I had mentioned this, I think, to Bert earlier, and then the market did sell off, and they've already sold off the minimum amount that we could have traded it, but that's fine because there's plenty more where that came from. So keep an eye on this. I think gold is the only one that we really have right now that we could potentially set up.
And David and I had spoken this morning about maybe doing silver, you know, maybe as an added metal to it. So stay tuned to that also.
Okay, yeah. Well, and I won't have that tomorrow or anything, but over the next week or so, I want to take a look at that. Silver is an unusual market. It has a lot of trending qualities to it that allow it to go right through all kinds of things. So it is really good for potentially for trend following, especially on shorter term time frames where you could hold a position, get a lead in it, and then maybe hold for a continued daily or a larger trend. But that market will have very small reactions where it would normally have big ones, and then just move right on through. So it's operating on a different kind of structure, a different kind of base than other markets are. So I'll take a look at it, and maybe we can get some trades out of it. It'll be fun to take a look at that. In the meantime, Dwayne, I think that's everything we have for today. And if there's anything else, you have any other questions for me, I charge a dollar a minute.
There were a couple of questions, but I kind of have to run. So if folks, if you'll bring those questions back to the show with you tomorrow, we'll be happy to answer them.
I'd be happy to answer them. And Dwayne, I'll let you go. I know you've got your business and one-hour
modernizing and
things for taking.
You know, funny you should say that. I actually do have to go to the cleaners. That's one of the things on my to-do list. So anyway,
all right, we all have to go to the cleaners at some point. So
all right,
we just don't want to be taken to the cleaners.
Right. There you go.
Well
said.
All right. Thank you very much, Dwayne and the guys. And I'll plan on talking with you all tomorrow. Bert, Michael, Dwayne. See you tomorrow.
Sounds good. See you tomorrow.
Okay.
Bert,
talk to you then.
Bert. Hey, Bert. All right, I got to go, Bert. I wanted to say goodbye. I'll be praying for you, the new baby, the wife, the family, the mother-in-law. We know that's always a powder keg kind of situation. So God bless you, brother. We'll be praying for you. And to the rest of you, thanks so much for tuning in. Hey, I put in the text box a link that you can click, audibletrial.com/CFRN. Go get yourself a free audiobook. Thanks for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Pastor Dwayne Reeves, and his guests. This information should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed security broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions. You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.